Well, what a difference a week makes, huh? What a difference events make in our lives. It's really an encouragement to me to know that their arrears are here. Because I know them well enough to know that they're here because they believe in a great big God. Amen. And we are touched by the loss. And we love you guys and hope that you feel at home. Don't everybody crush them at once. They've been with a lot of people. They're working with a lot. But in your own way, let them know that you're there and that you care. Well, you know, Mike lived a very generous, generous life. Mike O'Rear, the one that we are grieving today. And watching him finish the race was a gift to me. And I know that for those of you who were involved with him on a variety of levels this last week, whether you were at the hospital or not, it probably brought some hard, cold facts to the front of your thoughts about how thin that curtain is between life and death. I know for a fact that Mike would want us to concentrate on the Lord this morning and what he has for us as a mission and as a church and as a community, because that was the kind of man he was. He gave his life for the kingdom of God. And so he would have us continue that priority and that focus this morning. And we're going to allow him to speak to us as I go, and I think you'll see how. So let's pray so that we can move into God's word and see what God has for us this morning. Lord, thank you for this incredible congregation. Thank you for this body of people. Thank you for your incredible, generous love. Thank you for the hope that we live, for we are people of hope. And as we center on your word this morning, Lord, we pray that your spirit would come and encourage us, fill us, heal us, meet us where we need to be met. And for those of us who didn't know Mike but want to be a part of this community at this particular time, I pray that you would speak to them as well, that you would tear away the veil so that they might see you more clearly, as we all desire to do. I pray for these things in your name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about stewardship. How should we live? How should we steward our lives? How should we steward the vision that God has given us? When I was 21, I know I have told this story before, but I had the privilege of going on an Arctic survival canoe trip. 21, that's when you do those kinds of things. We took a bus as far north as we could to Yellowknife, Canada, which is in the Northwest Territories. There were no roads any further north of there, so we got onto pontoon planes, strapped the canoes to the pontoons, and went even further north and got dropped there for 6 to 7 weeks. We didn't know how long we were going to be moving north by canoe until we reached the Arctic Circle and then onward to Bathurst Inlet. Now, the reason I go into all these details is because we became a small community there with our own little power structures, our own little decision trees. There were no streets. There were no 7-Elevens. There were no equipment stores, no REIs. We were out there. And so we picked up our own value system of what was important to us. And I wonder if you can imagine just what that might have been when we made bets with one another, when we wanted to do some trading. You know what we traded with? Our chocolate pudding. That's all we had, but that was the treat of our day. Chocolate pudding was our currency. Now, how strange is that? If you tried to pay your taxes with chocolate pudding, you wouldn't get very far. If you tried to trade on Wall Street, chocolate pudding on Wall Street would make no sense whatsoever. And so it is that when communities and kingdoms begin to collide, what is absurd in one community makes total sense in another. And that's the situation we have with God's kingdom. God values so many different things than we value here, that to the world it seems like we're trying to pay taxes with chocolate pudding. Doesn't make sense. What does God value? He values life. He traded his life for ours. That was his currency, his blood, his life. He cares about yours and my well-being, especially this morning. Do you know that God loves you and is very concerned about where your heart is, where it's grieving? And he cares about the world. So, and these are things that we already know, but let's just review them and soak them in again. That God is about saving this world, bringing it into wholeness and completion, to a time where there is no more death, to a time when we're whole and we're peaceful and we don't feel broken, and our world isn't broken in the kingdom. And he invites us in to being a part of that mission of his. And so when we do things according to the kingdom of God in this world, what do we have? Chocolate pudding on Wall Street. Doesn't make sense. I'd like to read for you our passage, which comes from Luke 6, and I'm reading it in the Message. I want to make sure I start at the right place. Listen to God's word to us this morning. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this: love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat. Live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. And I'd like to stick in the word. Here's the simple rule of thumb for stewardship. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? A run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity, the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people, and you'll find that life is a lot easier. Give away your life, and you'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way, and generosity begets generosity. Generosity begets generosity. How should we live in the face of that thin curtain that separates us from death and being closer to Christ in a different kind of a way? I suggest that we follow Jesus's words here, that we steward our lives, that we love where we're hated, that we bless where we're cursed, that we offer our coat and our other cheek. As JJ described today, it's an upside down kingdom. So if you want to go up, if you want to climb the ladder, you've got to go down. And if you really want to live, we've got to give up our lives. The standard, as the scripture has come to us this morning, is that the standard is not one another. It's God's standard. We're to be like Him, not to be like one another. We're to be like Him and live mercifully and generously and graciously. I like the word expansive. Our hearts need to be expansive and generous. And this is how Mike ran his race. I know that because you should have seen the people come around him. You should have seen the lives that he touched. And this is how we want to steward our lives too. I mentioned that thin curtain between life here and life there. And, you know, Mike lingered for 4 days in there. And in a couple of conversations I had with people, it was like, where do you suppose Mike really is? I mean, his body is in that room. Where is Mike? Is he still here with us, or is he with the Lord? Has he gone? He lived in those 4 days kind of untrackable. I mean, we had all these, you know, the medical teams had all these things hooked up to him. But where is that boy, you know? Where did he go? Is he still there? Is he with us, or is he gone? And that's what the kingdom is like sometimes. Sometimes we can't find it. The scriptures say the kingdom of God is right at our hand. Like we could reach out and grab it. But you and I go, where? When we get into a situation, we go, where can I grab this kingdom? It seems so invisible and so intangible. It's so much so that Jesus had to say to Nicodemus, you've got to be born again to see it. To even enter it, you've got to be born again. Well, I want you to know, and this is the vision I want to give you guys this morning, is that I saw the kingdom. And it was very visible, and it was very tangible, and you guys were a part of it. I want to make sure that I don't leave anything out of what I want to say at this point. But I saw people this last half of the week stewarding your lives with absurd choices. They were totally absurd. They made no sense. It was chocolate pudding on Wall Street. And what I mean by that is that there was not much to hope in. Mike was all hooked up. And everything in the medical archives someplace would say, well, it's looking grim. But you know what? We didn't think that way. We made the absurd choice to believe that there is a God who is bigger than all of this. And so we began to pray. Hope beyond all hope, as Abraham prayed when he prayed and believed God for a son. I saw people, many of you who are here, come sit at that hospital room for hours in the middle of a culture that said time is money and you need to get about and be doing something productive. You came. You sat there. That's absurd. What do you think you're thinking? Not making some money and spending your time in a more productive way. Food appeared from nowhere. I have no idea who brought it. But we had more food, not just once a day, but people kept bringing food. They didn't want credit for it. What's with that? People don't want credit for things? That's crazy. You might as well cash it in and get something, some kind of brownie point or something, some kind of leadership badge for doing that. They didn't ask for to be reimbursed. It came from nowhere. I want to mention three people this morning just because I'm so grateful for them, because they allowed me to go home and go to bed. Who would offer to stay overnight, you know, to stay up in the middle of the night? Well, Linda Dixon did. And so did Jeff Barnes and Renee Stewart and Greg Likem. And this is my agenda. I'm just so grateful. And that made no sense to me, because you needed sleep as much as I did. You were grieved as much as I did. You were concerned as much as I did. Pretty absurd, huh? And away from the hospital, those of you who couldn't come, it's you were playing the part that God had given you exactly. I had friends that grabbed me on Thursday morning, and you guys know who you are. You offered me meals. You sat me down, just prayed with me. You said, "What can we do?" And so I shared the things on my plate, and you were my sifters. Where is the kingdom? Where should I give my money to? I mean, my time, and how should I steward my time and my life and my money at that point? People called and said, "Whatever I can do, count me in." Now that is, I mean, that's ridiculous to sign a blank check and say, "Just call me." And I don't even know who's on that list because the office took them. Bill, who I understand might be still here, I know he was here about 10 minutes ago. He's back there. Bill was fit to be tied. Can you imagine not being able to be mobile at a time like this? It just killed him. And Uli, who is his PT and a member of our community here, just praised him the next day for not getting up, because we need our pastor to take care of himself. So he was responsible. But boy, did that take some talking to get him to stay put. Then there were people like Jeff and Stephen who knew that Bill was out and I'm a half-time. And I know this is sounding like it's all about, what I experienced in this week. It sounds like it's all about me, but that's my lens and that's what I saw. I just saw people coming out of the woodwork. I was thinking about it this morning. I think I heard from every leader in every small group at Covenant came to me and said, "Whatever we can do." Am I boring you yet with all of this? I shouldn't be. I hope I'm not. Because everybody that came around this week gave sacrificially. And I don't think it hurt very much. Did it hurt very much? If I asked for more, would you give more? I know you would, because I know you. You guys, that's the kingdom of God. This is the point of going into this long description. This is the kingdom of God, visible and tangible. And we do this at Covenant all the time with each other. This is Covenant. This is what I want you to hear. This is who we are. This is us from the DNA outward. And we do it for one another. And in the past year or two, we've gotten better at doing it for those people we haven't yet met. Thanks to all of you who have led us into Mission Lit and One-to-One, and the rescue mission, Feed My Starving Children. Those of you who have helped us look up and outward, we have such a gift here. We know how to take care of people. And God is calling us to continue to do that, to continue to steward ourselves in that way. And the passage this morning tells us how to do it, and that is generously, the way your Father does it, your Father in heaven. And that's what I've seen. I saw that this week. And if we can see the kingdom of God in our midst, what will those outside of our midst see as we move outward? Lord willing, they too will see the kingdom of God at work. And it will become visible. And they'll say, what makes that team, those people, so weird? Why do they not care about their time, or why do they sacrifice themselves like that? And it's because Jesus sacrificed himself for us. And even Paul says, I poured out my life as a libation, as a offering to the Philippians.
So we have it in our DNA, and it's a sign of a transformed life.
I want you guys, in the midst of your sorrow, and in the midst of any kind of perplexity or unemployment or anything that you might be experiencing this morning, I want you to recognize that this is a sign, what you guys have done, what we do here, is a sign of a transformed life, that we don't do this on our own. This is about the Holy Spirit in us, what He has done.
Living generously is a reflection of a freed up heart. Doesn't that sound great? Anybody want to be free inside their heart? Or more free?
See, as believers, we have nothing to lose. See, that's the good thing. Because we can't take anything with us.
We'd ask Mike if we could, Mike, how much did you take with you to see Jesus? And he'd say, I didn't escape with anything
except his soul and his heart for people and a life well lived.
See, we're not afraid of death because God has conquered death. So we don't even need to be afraid of that thin curtain. We don't need to be afraid of God on the other side of that curtain because we know Him here. And we know He's generous. And He has already paid for our eternal life with His currency.
To be free is to believe that what we have here is not all there is. That there's more. That there's more than what we could see on that gurney. That there is more than what we have and can see in our bank accounts, in our unemployment record, in our time. There's more there than what we can see. Because usually the world will say, well, you see what you know, you get what, let's see, what is it? You get, what you see is what you get. That's what the world tells you. Well, in the kingdom, it's the opposite. You get what you can't see. And you get what you can take with you. So nothing is at stake when we give and give sacrificially. When we mirror the heart of the Father in whatever ways God leads us. But if we give sparingly, then we live cramped, emaciated hearts. And we don't want that.
So I just want to say, well done, community at Covenant. Well done. Thank you for encouraging me. And I know the O'Rears would say thank you for encouraging them. And hang on to this DNA that we have that makes us unique, that makes us incredibly, we're a tool that God wants to love on and nurture and take care of, because He's got things for us to do.